those of you that weren't here last night, we had just a very small number, and as the Spirit would have it, only men, and we had a great class. You missed a good one, and we just talked a lot, and went through some things, so I'm still trying to decide what I'll do with the tape, but it was really a good evening last night. But I wouldn't want that small number every night, so I'm glad you're here. Not what I want a class just of all men. I love you ladies here, so there's that. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for scripture. First of all, open the scriptures. Don't get nervous, but open it to Galatians 2. Don't get nervous. Don't walk. Just bear with me. Galatians chapter 2 a moment. Okay, what are we doing? I want to finish this series up, and then we're going to go to something else. But I want to finish the study of one another. We're going through these things, and this is not a list. This is not law. This is not something you get all you can down and then practice it. This is something that I want you to be aware of the leading of the Holy Spirit in our relationship with one another. When Jesus Christ was getting ready to depart planet Earth, he left us with a new commandment, and that commandment was to love one another. With all that can be said and that we've studied in regard to one another, loving one another as I've loved you, what is important to our study right now is the next verse. By this, all will know that you're mine. Not your creed, not your doctrine, not your view, dispensations, not your theology, not your list, not how morally righteous you are, not how much doctrine you know, not how much you emote, not how much you serve God. If you love one another as I've loved you, which we have noted is can only be done in the power of the Spirit. Well, we're looking at what does that come down to, what does it look like? What does spiritual love look like? If I want to look at my life, and as I look at my life, I want to test, examine my own self, how will I know? Because we can fool ourselves and say this is what love is, just like the believers in the assembly that James wrote to. So we don't want to do that. We want to get a feel from Scripture of what is it going to look like. So that's what we're in the midst of doing. Left off for our flow through Galatians. And now we're going to get on back to this study. I want to finish some of these things off in the positive, and then we're going to look at some don't do things to one another, like judge not one another. That list will be as surprising to you as probably this one is, that flow of how we're not to deal with one another. But right now we're looking at what can I sense the Holy Spirit leading me to do, convicting me to do, in so many different circumstances, if we're listening to Him. So let's prepare ourselves by testing ourselves to see if we are in a faith relationship with the Spirit, that He can open up these passages we're going to look at, open our eyes that we might see. Sometimes, Father, we get the feeling in our souls that if we could just be isolated in some area and have the Bible and it just be you and me and the Holy Spirit and the Bible would live a great Christian life. It'd just be an absolutely superb life. And then all of a sudden you land on our little island, another person. And then pretty soon there are a whole bunch of these people running around. And all of a sudden this life isn't quite as simple as we thought it was. Rather, it's in the interrelationship with people. In some cases, those married and families, from the moment you open your eyes, we open our eyes, the more with others coming in contact in various ways with other believers, that we enter into this realm of realizing whether or not we are walking in faith. We pray now, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes to these things, that we'll not turn them into law and take the place of the Holy Spirit and superimpose these things, but that we will allow our observing these things, Father, to open our eyes to the leading of the Spirit, what he would have us to do and not do. First of all, Father, in just seeing these things in Scripture, that he would open our eyes and then bring them to mind when we are dealing with one another. Because we understand from the words of our own Savior that it is in this manner that even angels will know that we belong to him. So, Father, we pray now that you will open our eyes through your Spirit, that we might see in this journey this evening together. In Christ's name, amen. Ooh, did you bring them? Oh, good. Okay. I was a little discouraged and prayed long, and this will save us a lot of time. Didn't think you'd make us some copies, so let me just pass these out so that we'll all be on the same sheet. Whoa, you did. Man, y'all better be glad. She doctored them up and fixed them up. And one, two. Okay. Do you mind? All right. Let me just take one. Be sure so I have one of these fixed up ones here. Okay. I'm glad to do this because this makes us very quick. The first 5 minutes here, we can, if I was writing it on here, you'd be trying to read my writing and going through that. This saves us that. So let's just take a look here together. Okay, is it Paul, is that?
Mark
Harmon. Hummel. All right, Mark's visiting here from Houston, and glad to have Mark here with us this evening. I'm down here to work, and thought he would come in and spend some time with our assembly here, and glad you did, Mark. Thank you. Okay, you'll go back now and bring your memory. This should help you. These are some of the things that we've been looking at. I like this in the sense that we can see on the first column here the one another's that we have been studying, that the Holy Spirit will guide us if we're walking in the Spirit. And then many of these come with a qualifier. It's not just a matter of doing something, but it is also the manner in which we do it, which will, of course, be done in the power of the Spirit. And sometimes you can do something and say you're in the Spirit, but then you go to that second column and you go, I guess I'm really not. Because while I am doing it, I'm not doing it in the Spirit that he would give me to do it. And then something that we came upon in our study, but sometimes some of these words are really easy to understand in human relationship when you look at the antonym. And so some of these things, it just seemed good to put down the antonym of, if I don't do this, what will I do? And often the antonym is by law. I began to realize that. And then some scripture references to help us out. Before we get into it, Galatians chapter 2. Take a look. Since I found myself in getting ready and doing some of the other things. Oh, this is, we saw that in Galatians. And I'm going to do that for a while because I want you to realize how fundamental Galatians is. I'm seeing how fundamental it is to nearly every other epistle. He lays the groundwork for so many things, and you'll see it. So let's just take a look. Galatians 2. And what I want to look at is verse 4. But it was because of the false brethren who, and the false brethren doesn't mean that they're not believers. It means that they are going now living by the different gospel than that by which they were saved, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us under their control, bring us into bondage. Okay, we get a feel. This is how believers deal with one another, is in that way. Verse 12, prior to his coming, to the coming of certain men, believers from James, who is one of the fathers, he's a believer, half-brother of Jesus Christ, and head of Jerusalem Church, way up there, high reputation. And he sent these men in to spy. So we know if we're doing this kind of spying stuff, we know, wait a minute, I better check and see if I'm walking in the Spirit. So these men came from James. Peter used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw, hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. Well, we've seen a lot of these. Look over chapter 5. Let's just jump to chapter 5 and note some things here very quickly. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour, and we've seen how that's with law. First one bites with law, and then the other one snaps back with law, and look what happens. Until you reach the point where you're consumed by one another. You eat each other, you destroy each other by law, and that's what the law is designed to do. Look at the last verse of chapter 5. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, in other words, calling each other on the carpet, envying one another. So, what we've seen in Galatians is the way a lot of believers deal with one another. Now let's just go to things that we've already studied, so we can go through this quickly in your little the chart here, and so we can look at it. The first one we started off with, of course, is the primary one, love one another. Now, this, of course, we know is all of these are in the spiritual life, so I'm not going to be repetitious on that. The qualifier in this case is as Christ loves you, not as you love yourself. That's the old law. This is now he's up to stakes, as Christ loved you. The antonym to hate the other person. And then we have some scripture. The second one, and then we started kind of going through by some of the books written in the first book by Paul, serve one another. And the qualifier in the passage, in spiritual love. Serve one another in love. The antonym, if I don't do that, what am I going to do? Think that you're master and stand above others, and then you're the one that ought to be served. Then the third one, bear one another's burdens. And I like this. It is embedded in red because this is very important in that passage in the context. Brought on as a result of sin. See, a lot of times believers don't mind helping another believer with a burden, but boy, if it's a burden of sin, you deserve what you got, and you bear the consequences, and that's just the way that thing goes down. That you have to, this is what you've got to do in order, because you sinned. No, that's not what Scripture says. What Scripture says is, you go to a believer, help them with the burden that has come into their life because of sin. You take it upon yourself to take that away from them, so it makes it easier for them to walk in the spirit of their life by faith. Makes it easier for them to walk in faith. And again, as we have at the very top, Christ's example, who bore our burden on the cross. So here is the example. Now, if I don't do that, if I'm not going to bear the burden that has come upon you by sin, what am I going to do? I'm going to shake up. I'm going to stir up. I'm going to render you insecure. In other words, I'm going to weigh you down with it. If I don't lift it up off of you, I'm going to weigh you down. I'm going to cause you to really be insecure because of the way and what's going on in your life. The fourth one, recognize that we are members of one another, the qualifier in Christ. The fifth one, be devoted to one another. And the qualifier in that passage, in spiritual love. If I'm not devoted to one another, what does it mean to be devoted to one another? Again, sometimes it's good to look at the antonym. It means to be hard, have a hardness of heart, to be callous, indifferent to one another, what's going on in another person's life, what's going on in their soul, what's going on in my husband's soul, my wife's soul, person at work, in the assembly. They, you know, going along and what happens is today they didn't, you know, they weren't the way they usually are. And, well, you sure, you know, were arrogant today and judge rather than what? Be devoted to one another, to be sensitive to what's going on. The sixth one, give preference to one another. Boy, this is a tough one. And to do it in an honorable way. See, just pick on the husband here. But a husband can say, all right, we'll do it your way. You know, I'll be good. I'll give you preference to you. Yep, you blew it. You blew it. You might as well go ahead and do it your way if you're going to give her preference in that attitude, because it's not in an honorable manner. So we can see that when the Holy Spirit's doing something in our lives, people, it's not only what He's doing, but it's the Spirit in which we're doing it so often that lets us know it's of the Spirit. God judges our soul. The antonym for giving preference is to give preference to yourself and to your own needs over their needs. And all of these antonyms, sometimes I don't have one, maybe because of the way the Greek is worded, or there just really isn't an easily Greek antonym. Most of these things, if you remember, like on that first one, we did put the antonym for love, but I didn't do it all the way through here. But every one of these are Greek antonyms. This isn't just made up. And sometimes there isn't one that's easy to come upon. Okay, number seven, think the same towards one another. As we are equal in Christ Jesus is the qualifier, and not only the really the qualifier, but also explains what that means. Think the same toward one another. You're not superior. You weren't saved in any better way than the other person. You were just as horrible as they were, and dealt with by grace. The antonym to that, believe that we are better or superior to one another. The eighth one, perceive those things which build up one another. Edify their spiritual life and their relationship with God instead of destroying them or tearing them down, judging them, things like that. Okay? The ninth one, be of the same mind with one another. A little different than we just asked you times ago. That is the thinking of Christ. You have the same mind with one another. They're the thinking of Christ, which we know is what? Spiritual love. And the tenth one, accept one another, just as, and it's in the passage, the qualifier, just as Jesus Christ accepted us. And the antonym to that helps us to cast or send out, to reject due to sins or failures or some, maybe our list or our law. We want to kick them out. We'd accept one another. 11, admonish one another. And the qualifier, in love or in spiritual love. We're admonishing them to get back into the spiritual life. That's the main issue. Not in regard to what's going on in their life or these kind of things, but admonish them to get back into spiritual life so that they can be reconciled to God and then be used by God. The antonym to that, lead astray. Lead into law. Rather than admonishing them in the spiritual life, you lead them into law and you judge them according to law. 12, greet one another. And we have here with overt manifestation. Remember, we had fun there because there are four passages that tell us to greet one another with a holy kiss. And, I grew up in there where one time in the Bible it says confess sin, and that became the overall of everything. Four times is to greet one another with a kiss, and that was just completely not only not done, but looked way down on. And yet it was four times in Scripture. We looked at all four. Some of you got nervous when I was going through that. But what we have here is it does mean in an overt manifestation. That's the main thing. Custom may have it with a kiss. Custom may have it with a good handshake. Custom may have it with a hug. Custom may have it a lot of ways, but it isn't an overt manner. It isn't one of these deals, well, you know, I'm glad you're here. Well, that's really good. I'm glad you told me because I wouldn't have known. See? And so it means to greet one another and in love, in spiritual love. And the antonym to that, you recall, was to avoid or ignore, slander, blame for something, or find fault. Those are the Greek antonyms for greeting one another. The 13th one, wait for one another. That upsets some of you. Wait for one another. In love. Not just wait.
Well, we waited, and the dinner's cold, and everything's wrong. But we waited. You might as well have gone ahead and did whatever you were going to do if that's the way you're going to do it. It's not done in love. But you recall, this is primarily, to be honest, for the text, and that's what we want to be in the assembly, like if having communion or something like this. Of course, the antonym is simple, not waiting, or waiting with despair, with no long suffering. 14th one, care for one another. Care for one another. And remember, people, as I go through these things, this is the leading of the Spirit in a husband-wife relationship, where it's really sometimes the toughest. It's work. It's social life. It's the assembly. But it's also just in life in general. If you will be led, we will be led by the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit in all of these things, care for one another. The qualifier, when another believer hurts, sins, or fails, recognize the need. That's the important thing. That you recognize the need. This took us to the concept of spiritual love. Spiritual love covers a multitude of sin. What does that mean? Well, here's spiritual love, and here's someone, another believer in sin. But spiritual love, what most people do is they come to hear, and they stop, and they focus on what the person's done. What spiritual love does is it looks over the sin, passes over it, and it sees the need. What caused this type of thing to occur? And we spent some time in that regard. So here it means to care for one another, to recognize their need. The antonym, to neglect, to overlook, and to have little regard for, even to despise them for whatever's going on. 15, be kind to one another. In other words, relieving pain. We've studied some of the things of what kindness means. It's relieving the pain from sin or from testing, whatever's going on in their life. They qualify with the objective being their reconciliation with God. The antonym of kindness, the Greek word for kindness, the antonym unprofitable, useless, or to someone's detriment, not to their spiritual reconciliation. The 16th one, submit to one another. And the fear of Jesus Christ. A lot of men know about wives submitting to their husbands, but they don't know a few verses up, submit to one another. Believers submitting to one another in the fear of Jesus Christ. The antonym to that's very helpful, to lord over one another. 17, consider one another more important than self. The idea of sacrificing yourself for their benefit. This is what the Lord did for us. This is what spiritual love is. Sacrificial to self, beneficial for the other person. The 18th one, bear with one another. Again, we've gone through the passages. Bear with one another regarding their sins against us. In other words, they've hurt you in some way. They're not doing things the way you want it done. Those things that really get us upset at one another. Bear with one another. This comes from the long suffering of love. Another way we could have added another column here, what aspect of spiritual love is being drawn upon? Because all of these are drawn from some aspect of spiritual love as it is described with all of its impacts and effects as in 1 Corinthians 13 and many other places. Bear with one another. Qualifiers. In spiritual love, which bears all things. Spiritual love bears all things. Therefore, if you are walking in spirit, in the filling of the Spirit, you will bear with one another their sins, how they hurt you, disappoint you, all of these kinds of things. And then the 19th one, extremely important and extremely difficult if you are not in the Spirit, and sometimes people get out of the Spirit because we don't want to do this one. Forgive one another. Anything and everything, and those are right out of the text. Can I really do that? No, you cannot do this in the flesh. In the power of the Spirit, we can do this. And the qualifier, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Right out of the text that we studied. And so, we dealt with those. Now tonight, number 20. Let's move into, see if we can get this one done. And thank you, Susan. We're just going to fill up that page and keep going through it. All right, number 20. Again, now we've moved to the book of Thessalonica, the letters to Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians is where we have now moved. Remember, we're trying to do this mostly by in the order of the books of Paul. Okay, 1 Thessalonians. And if you recall, the reason I did that, there's a lot of, you could do it where I try to pick which one's more important. That would have been atrocious. That would have been terrible. Because sometimes what we might think is the smallest one here could become the most crucial. So I'm not even going to try. Waiting for one another. Boy, how could you put that along with forgiving one another? Forgiving one another is the big, one of the big. No. Sometimes waiting for one another is what's needed in the spirit. So I'm glad that he just said, don't try to do this in any way, alphabetically or importance or anything. Just do it by the book and let it go at that. Okay, 1 Thessalonians, number 20, we are to encourage one another or to comfort one another. This one's beautiful. We are to encourage one another or comfort one another. And I'm going to just tell you right up front, it doesn't mean if you had more doctrine, or if you were more righteous, or if you served more, if you studied more, if you did this more, you wouldn't have this trouble and all of that. Now, what we're told to do, and what we will do under the leading of the Spirit, is encourage one another. We are to comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Please turn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Powerful people are the people in Thessalonica. One of the churches that is just doing it right, and almost all of them were doing it right, but boy, the things that Paul says about the believers in Thessalonica are envious in the right sense of envy, but they're really wonderful. All right, look at chapter 4, verse 18. Chapter 4, verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I want to show you what's going on here. We have comfort. Please bear with me on this. This is the New American Standard Bible version in ASV, and they say comfort one another. The NIV says encourage. The NIV translates this encourage. Encourage one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. The King James says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:11 with me. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. There's a lot with the believers in Thessalonica. There will be a lot of attack, and you will be if you're walking by faith in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, you can just count on it. Each other is going to have, the other believer is having his own battles and her own battles. Walking in faith is a battle, and if you're doing it, you're going to come under attack. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, and we've already studied that, build up, just as you are doing. Ooh, that's powerful. The NIV translates it here, encourage one another. The King James, they switched on, they stayed the same here. They said, the NIV switched on us, but the King James, wherefore comfort one another. Turn with me to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Strong exhortation. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This is we're going to look at it closer, but it's a powerful one in encouraging one another not to walk in sin. So, but encourage one another. The NIV uses encourage one another. The King James, they changed on us here. They said exhort one another. One more look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You read the book of Hebrews, it's going to come very close to his dealing with the day. And we'll see what that's talking about. The NIV says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The King James, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another," staying with their ideal of exhorting one another, "and as much the more as you see the day approaching." Well, we need to look at what day is approaching, but that's come up. Now, in each of these passages, we have the same root word, parakaleo. I want to put it on the board for a very important reason. Parakaleo. First, you already know what this word is? Okay. Parakaleo. There's the English transliteration. Parakaleo. Translated comfort, encourage, exhort. And we just looked at different ways that it's translated. Okay. The word para, P-A-R-R, the prefix para, means alongside of. Alongside of. This is what the first part of the word, kaleo, means to call. So, in its very raw translation, to call alongside of. Okay, what does it come to mean in the Greek? It means to appeal to. To urge, to encourage, this is right out of lexicons, exhort, comfort, and cheer up. Okay. Well, it's a really important one, isn't it? Oh, man, just can't wait. Let's spend a month on it. Okay, let me show you how important this one is. Turn to John 14, which we'll be getting back to. John chapter 14. Let's see where this word appears. This is what you were thinking of, Bruce? Yeah, all right. John 14. John 14, right where we left off in our study, in John 14, okay, what is the Lord saying? He says in verse, verse 14, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Ooh, praying to Jesus Christ, we can't do that. All right, verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," and we've already noted what his commandments are. That is what? To love one another as I have loved you, the new commandment, and to trust, faith. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." That is the Spirit of truth. See the word helper? Guess what? That's our word. That's the root of our word. Same word. Parakaleo. So this word, so that you will see who and what you are in reference to another believer, this word is used of Jesus Christ in his coming. This word is used of the Holy Spirit in his coming. The Holy Spirit will do this, first of all, to you, as we will see when we get back to John 14, and then through you, the Holy Spirit will do it to other believers. Through you. This is what you will do to others, what he's first done to you. So that you will know what this feels like. I know to love one another as Christ has loved me, I know what that ought to do to you, because why? I first know how it affected me. I know what that love feels like. I know what that love does inside of me because it's happened to me. Therefore, I know what my love, spiritual love extended to you, ought to do to you. So this is what we have going on. So this is the same word. The word tells us how we ought to be to one another. We are to encourage. To encourage one another. This is especially true in times of suffering, hurting, which may come about as what? From what? Sin or just testing. It may come as about as the sin that they're having this hurt and suffering that's going on, or it may just come about of the testing. So it can come from either. It doesn't matter. People, nowhere are we told to stand back and say, well, are you suffering because you sinned, or are you suffering because of you're really, you know, walking in faith, and boy, the Lord's really using you. And if you're walking in faith and the Lord's really using you, man, I'm right there to help you. But if you're there suffering and hurting because of sin, man, I'm just going to kick you and separate and stay away and judge and malign you. People, we're not told. We're not told to make that judgment. It's not our place to make a judgment. So Job's three friends made a judgment. You are suffering because you have sinned. And that's the way they entered they came to comfort him, and that's what they came in with that attitude. You are suffering because you sinned. People, that's not our judgment. You are suffering. You hurt. Let me comfort. I don't know why. Don't have to know why. It's not my place. I may or may not know. I'm not saying you won't know every time. But it's not our place to know those things. So this word means to, when someone is suffering or hurting from sin, from testing, whatever it may be, we are to encourage them to fill with the strength and a purpose in their life, walking in faith in the Spirit. The antonym here helps us again. Here's the antonym of this word. The antonym of this word, in other words, if I'm walking in the flesh, and I'm not going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm not going to encourage, and I'm not going to comfort, what am I going to do? The antonym, the Greek antonym of this word means to discourage. Let me tell you something, people. There is no one like another Christian who is walking in the Spirit. There is no one like that person who can give you encouragement. We can study Scripture. Even your own physical brother cannot give you that type of encouragement that another believer walking in the power of the Spirit can give you. But I want you to understand something else. There is no one who can give you greater discouragement than a born-again believer walking by law, walking outside of the filling of the Spirit. They can bring more discouragement and more hurt in your already troubled situation. All they have to do is come down on you in law. You deserve it. Just like Job. We can study Job's three friends. To reach to the point, why do you trust me with your words? In fact, he even said it stronger than that. Why do you trust my soul with your words? That old adage that we used to play when we were kids, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt. Wrong. I'd rather you throw sticks and stones. Because words crush the soul. They get right into the soul. So what we're looking at here, the antonym means to discourage, to run you down, to judge you, to attack you to yourself and then to others. Tell you how horrible you are, how sinful you are, how wrong you are, and you're not even usable by God. God can't even use you. And this is the way Christians deal with one another and dealing with one another. If you come at a believer with law, this is going to be, this is the way Job's friends came at it. If you come at a believer with law, this is what you're going to do to them when they're already in pain. When you come at them in the filling of the Spirit, you're going to encourage. All right, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4:18. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, and see if we can just get through the scripture of what's happening in the passage. I want to turn to with you, and I have it here because I want to look at a few things with you. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Translated comfort in the New American Standard. And what I want to show you is in the context why it's going to be the comfort that is going to be needed. And as I do that, I'm saying sometimes it's comfort, sometimes other things. Okay, how am I going to know? How am I going to know what right words are? Whether I'm to comfort, encourage, exhort, if we can make a fine line of difference in those types of things. People, this is why you want to walk in the Spirit by faith. He will guide you. I trust the Spirit to guide me, even in the choice of words, and encouraging another believer. If He leads you to another believer who needs the encouragement you have for them, don't you think He's also, can't you trust Him also to give you the words? Well, I don't want to go see them because I wouldn't know what to say. So I'll just turn the Holy Spirit off. What do you think the thought even came to go to them, talk to them, write them, call them, whatever it is, from the Holy Spirit? So if he can lead me guide me, give me that thought to go to that person, do you think he's going to drop the ball in what you're going to say when you get to that person? You think you're going to have to sit and study a lot of doctrine and get a lot of notes and sit there with some note cards? Or can we really trust the Spirit? If he's led me to this believer, can we really trust him to just, this is what I want you to say? And we may stumble over our words. That's not the point. We just trust him to guide us into that situation, to exhort. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Therefore, we have an inferential conjunction, and the reason I point that out to you is this is a conclusion. This is just the last thing now that we do. Therefore, in conclusion, we might say here. In conclusion of what we're dealing with, we're to encourage, we're to comfort. Now, what we're going to do is, what I want you to do is look back at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And I want to show you a word in 4:13 so you'll see it. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve. There's their condition. They are grieving. So, what do we want to do then? And this, I'm just showing you why we translated it, why the NASB translated it, comfort. If someone's grieving, we're going to want to comfort. This is what the Spirit will lead us to do. Let's just continue reading through and we'll see what's going on here. So we have 13. We are to comfort them. They are grieving. Some believers will come when another believer is grieving, and what we're studying here is about the death of somebody. See what he says in 13, we do not want you uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. That's another believer who's dead, died. That, so that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. You know, I personally know of this circumstance I'm giving you several times, as a matter of fact, where a believer will go to another person, another believer grieving, and you know what they said is right, in the sense of the truth of the resurrection. But it went something like this. You shouldn't be acting like that and crying like that. You should just pull yourself together. You ought to know that they're going to be resurrected, be in heaven. In fact, they're in heaven right now, and you're going to be with them. You don't need to act like blank, 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 blank. Just pull yourself together and straighten up. Use the doctrine you got in your soul. Oh, that's really what's going on in this passage, isn't it? That's really the leading of the Spirit to comfort with these words. People, it's not just a matter of going to another believer. It's to use not Holy Spirit, but the Spirit in the sense of our spirit. The Spirit in which you do it. Because that's true. Person understands these things and trusts God, believes God. They will, their suffering and their grieving will not be as the unbeliever. But that wasn't done in love. That wasn't done to comfort. That wasn't done to encourage. It was done to straighten them out. That's not our place. That's the Holy Spirit's place. We'll let him do that. What we want to do is comfort a believer when what they need is comfort. Let's just finish reading through this because it's beautiful. Some of you just yesterday morning heard it read, but let's read it now. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. In other words, other believers who have died. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. In other words, if the rapture were to occur right now, this way, you know, those that have died, they will be brought up out of the grave, out of the ground. They will come up and go up, and then we will follow. They will come up first. And it's a very beautiful thing that's going on here. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout of the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, now you see why they translated it comfort. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, what is so interesting is experientially, I've known a lot of, it just happens, and you know it. These words, the context here is, or the study here is the rapture of the church, or the taking home of the body of Christ, with rapture not being a biblical word, but the taking home of the body of Christ off the face of the earth, of the earth. Now, the context is, that's the comfort. What have we done with it? We use it for division. Everybody believes in pre-trib, that the rapture is going to start before the tribulation. I want you all over here. And then everybody that believes in mid-trib, I want you all over here. And then I want everybody that believes in post-trib, those of you that don't believe in the tribulation at all, and those of you all that don't even know what the word means, y'all come over and sit here. We use it to divide, separate. Well, if you don't agree with me, you're just not really in. If you don't understand, let me show you why I believe the way I do here. Let me straighten you out on this. It's not even why it's given to us. I don't care whether the person believes it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. As long as they know the body of Christ is going up, I can encourage and comfort with that. That's the important thing. And let me show you one thing. In all of my years, 20-something plus years now, and even before, I have yet to have one person that I was comforting with these words say, well, do you think that's going to happen before the tribulation or after? They're just comforted. Yeah, that's right. You're right. I forgot. That's right. That's where I need to be thinking in that way, that they're going to go home with the Lord and they're going to be resurrected and we're all going to be resurrected. I've never had anyone that was grieving want to talk theology about when this is going to happen. It's not what's in their soul right then. What's in their soul is that it's going to happen. And it's going to be a very wonderful, wonderful thing. So they're grieving. And so now, again, I just want to state, how do I know what is needed to encourage, to comfort? How do I know what works? This is what we're trusting the Holy Spirit to do for us. So look at verse 11 again. So instead of discouraging, instead of bracing, instead of straightening them out with truth, even if you know it's going to happen a lot of times, you know they know it. But people, when you're grieving over someone you love, all that isn't just going to come to the front. And I want it is just to sit down and bring these things into their minds. Instead of, well, you know this. Now look, you just go to this person, you just da-da-da-da, and you quit all this and quit that. People, that's not what we're here for. And that isn't the way the Holy Spirit does with you, by the way. Remember, the first thing He does is inside of you. He brings these things to mind, to comfort and encourage the soul. Okay. All the way through, we've used Christ as an example. What does Christ do in this kind of a case? Jesus Christ came into a room, and these men were in fear. Their fear was given, and we know they were in fear because He tells us later. Fear came across in being who's the more spiritual. Fear can express itself in a lot of different ways. They were in fear, they were uncertain, they were worried. Christ is leaving, and all these things are going on. And how do I know what to do? Well, the first thing the Holy Spirit did with our Savior was an action. He got down and washed the feet. And then He started doing what? He started the same thing we've been studying here. He gave them a lot of information. Started telling them how things are going to be. I'm going to leave. Love one another as I've loved you. Gave a new commandment. And then He says, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And then what He did? What did He do? He took the bread. And what was the bread? The bread of comfort from the communion service. What's bread for? Bread is designed from the custom of the Jews in Jeremiah. It's comfort. The bread of comfort. And then He gave them a cup. What is the cup? Cup of encouragement. The cup of encouragement, the new covenant. It's to encourage us to go on living. So when we follow Christ, our example here, in encouraging and comforting one another, it's done with a lot of things. It's done with some things about, I'm sending you another helper and this type of thing. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That type. Also, it's done with action. Washing their feet, giving them the bread, giving them the cup. It's a combination of a lot. How do I know? Boy, I wish I could think like the Lord did. That was really cool. That was great. How will I know if I can do that? You'll do that if you just walk and trust the Spirit. And what's so amazing, when you start seeing this happen in the filling of the Spirit, one of the most wonderful things that starts happening is you walk out. This has just happened, whatever it was, you walk out and you go, wow, how did I know to do that? Or maybe even somebody that's your friend went with you and says, boy, how did you know to do that in there? And you might, if you're honest, you go, I don't know. That was what I was compelled to do. And you might want to fake it and say, oh, well, I just, you know, that was what was needed, and I, you know, okay. But if you're honest with yourself, boy, I tell you what just happened, I know what just happened. Because normally I get all shook up in those situations where people are grieving and where people are hurting and people are crying. I don't even want to be around them. And so this is what the Spirit did. Okay, so these are the things that go on in our life. First Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:11 with me now. We got time to take a look at it. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another. Now it's a different word. It's a different translation. Now it's encourage. We just saw it translated comfort. Now it's encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. And we put the building up already in a study. We've already studied build up one another and what that means. But here we have to encourage one another. And it's the same word, parakaleo, same verb. But let's get a feel of the context. Look at verse 8. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians 5:11, but look at verse 8. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. We know that love and faith, we've seen it so many times now, love and faith go together. Out of faith was going to come love. Spiritual love, the work is the work of faith. We saw that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Okay, now continuing. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Salvation 2. Now, verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there's no fear of any judgment. Verse 10. Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake, that's alive on earth in our body, or asleep, that is, we have already died, we may live together with Him. Therefore, all right, because we are all going to be partakers of His glory in heaven, therefore, encourage one another. For, and we've seen it so many times in this study, a lot of times Christians are much nicer, to use that word, toward a family member, and by that I mean their physical family, than they are the family in Christ. They're much more forgiving of a husband, a wife, a son, daughter, parent, brother, sister, than they are of another Christian. Come to the assembly. Come to the assembly or wherever it is. Judge. You know better. Non-forgiving. And we've seen this many times as the qualifying factor on why we're going to do these things because of our position in Christ. So he says, therefore, because we're going to be in that heavenly glory together, partakers together, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. This is just a powerful statement that's going on. In fact, if you will, look at 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 1. This whole thing is powerful. We're running out of time, so let's just get a feel of what's going on. We haven't looked at Thessalonians for some time. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them, and suddenly like birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do they sleep at night, And those who get drunk at night. Now, all of this has spiritual things. This isn't talking about going and getting drunk. This is dealing with in the spiritual realm. We've seen some of it in Isaiah. Verse 8. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, and whether we are awake or asleep, we live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Okay, we're going to get into this. I don't know if I will finish the one another or stop somewhere, maybe after we finish the positive of one another before we do the negative. But it is so important that you and I begin to think in the terms of what things are going to be like when the end of the church age is drawing near. And there are going to be people, so many of the body of Christ, so many believers, and so we're talking about believers being here, so many believers in the body of Christ are going to be deceived and are going to follow the Antichrist. Going to be deceived and get all fouled up in what they're doing because they're going to follow this person who is the Antichrist. In other words, it doesn't mean to be against Christ. It means the false Christ. So it's going to be someone who's going to come and they're going to talk about the things that Christians want to hear. You can just about sin. I don't know when the rapture is going to occur, and it isn't a concern, but just to give you a feel of how this is, what if somebody comes on the scene with all that's going on in the White House, all that's going on in our judicial system, all that's going on, what if somebody comes up, and I mean very eloquently and beautifully talks about law, right and wrong, and everybody gets what they deserve, everybody do right, people, Christians are going to flock. It's going to sound so good and so right. And that's why I want you to know what to listen for, so that you won't be. Be alert. What's the message we want to hear? What is the truth of the gospel as we have studied it? So we comfort one another in the area of what is really the truth of what is really going on. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Notice again, and we've seen this over and over, the closeness of faith and love here. We're to encourage one another when it gets difficult, when they're not walking by faith, when they don't want to walk by faith, when so many things are so discouraging. This is what you and I are to do. We are to encourage them, build them up in Christ. Build them up. Now, I do like the last phrase that he says. He says here, just as you are so doing. They're already encouraging. But what have we learned from Galatians? If we've learned anything, we've learned that you can be doing it right and then be cut off. It can be something so simple that'll just come in. We saw it as a runner in chapter 5, that the word cut off is a running, is an Olympian phrase. And it's a runner running down the course, just, I mean, running well, and then somebody just cuts them off. Boom. And it can be that quickly. It can be very subtle, charmed, chapter 3, verse 1. It can happen very quickly. Boom. So you are running as you are doing. So we want to be encouraged, because here's another believer running the race. And they have been cut off. And what you and I want to do, we want to get to them and comfort them and encourage them to get back into the race. This is all that really matters. What they've done, all of those kinds of things, people, even the relationship, husband and wife and parent and child and friend, even all of those things are just, they're set aside for the moment. What we want to get is get this back. And then what happens? Then even then, the human relationships take on their proper place in Christ. So what we want to do is we want to comfort and encourage to get back. Probably should have done it down here. Anyway, they've been cut off, so we bring them back into the spiritual life. This is what we want to do. Okay, we have a few things to look at, but it's a good stopping place, scripture-wise. And we'll finish up encouragement and go to the next one. Let's close now in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that even though some of these are given in the imperative, that the burden has been lifted off of us of turning this into a law and making this a rigidity of life, but simply to be aware that when we are in the spiritual life, these are the things that will occur in our life. That as we walk in the Spirit, to listen to Him in regard to others and not ourselves, that we will be sensitive to other believers when they need comfort and encouragement, instead of just walking with our eyes on ourselves. We're so thankful, Father, that you have given to us the Spirit, not only to open our eyes and to see the truth of Scripture, but to lead us in it. Especially when we examine passages like this, Father, that deal with our relationships and marriage and the family and the home, the assembly and the work and the social life, everywhere we go. To know that our obedience is not to comfort, to encourage, but to walk in the Spirit and be led of Him in comforting and encouraging. Father, we praise you for the God you are. In your Son's precious name. Amen. Any questions?